Speak to our souls today, for this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but Lord, your word will forever last. We are ready for your word. Father, we pray that you would give us clarity of thought, preaching power, direction, that you will not only guide my mind, but guide my tongue, that everything that is done and everything that is said will bring glory and honor to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there was a season in my life that marked a lot of intentional discoveries. I took on some hobbies. I took on some events, some things, because I wanted to broaden who I am as a person. And one of the things I began doing was scuba diving. Some of you are aware of the fact I've dove some 200, 250 times. I've dove in the Caribbean, the waters of Cuba, Mexico, Hawaii, would plan trips around scuba diving. I think it went back to, as a child, I've always had a fascination with nature. Two of my favorite shows was Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, Marlon Perkins growing up as a boy, and then Jacques Cousteau. Used to love the ocean. As a matter of fact, when kids were playing and they would take on the personality or persona of a superhero, some would want to be Superman, some would want to be Batman. I was in trouble because I wanted to be Aquaman. I just thought it was cool to be able to talk to the fish, you know, and stay under the water. So maybe that was part of scuba diving. And people would ask me, they would say, what's the deepest you've ever been? Deepest I've ever been is 121 feet under the water. But one of the things that's important whenever you scuba dive is you have a dive buddy. A dive buddy. In other words, you don't want to go scuba diving alone. Because if you go scuba diving alone and you get in trouble, you in trouble. A dive buddy will keep their eye on you. You keep your eye on them. Periodically, you will make hand gestures or motions to indicate that you are doing okay. Everything is good. Or when it's time to go up. A dive buddy is essential because if your equipment fails under the water, for example, and your breathing apparatus goes out, every scuba diver has an alternative breathing apparatus on their tank that you can share with somebody else or use yourself if yours primary breather goes out. I was thinking just for a moment, if scuba diving is that dangerous that you want to make sure you have a dive buddy, how important is it for you and for me in this Christian life to have a discipleship buddy, to have a spiritual buddy, to have somebody when we come up against the attacks of the enemy, when we fall, that we have somebody there to help us get up? One of the things that I've learned in life is that there is such an emphasis on individualism. There's such an emphasis on having it my way that many times we miss the blessing of being in covenant with one another, of being in relationship with one another. And somebody under the sound of my voice, in the midst of rooted and grounded in the midst of this discipleship culture shift that we have made at our church, you have rediscovered what it feels like to actually have some people with some sense in your life. But for somebody else, you've been sitting on the sideline. For somebody else, you have not opened up the door and really allowed God to bring somebody into your life to encourage you, primarily because of some unresolved past pains. Today, I want to look at a passage of scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes, one of the wisdom literature books. And I want to talk today from the thought, the blessing of a committed companion. The blessings of a committed companion. Our foundational text is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning at verse 9, but we'll look at some of the earlier verses just to establish the context. If you have your outline, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, you can go to our website, goodhope.org, or download our app, and you can find there a fill-in-the-blank outline that you can use and print at your leisure. Two primary things I want you to see today around this idea of the blessings of a committed companion. Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to realize the people you share your life with are more important than the possessions you have. The people you share your life with are more important than the possessions you have. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, follows verses 7 and 8. Listen to what the wisest man in the world says in Ecclesiastes 4, verses 7 and 8. Verse 7 says, "Again, I saw vanity under the sun. One person who has no other, either son or brother, yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, 'For whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure?' This also is vanity and an unhappy business." So the writer of Ecclesiastes says, hey, I'm watching this person, I'm observing this person who is focusing more on possessions than personal relationships. I'm looking at this person who is working hard, who has no family to speak of, and they never stop to ask themselves, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I working all of these hours? Why am I putting away all this money for somebody else to spend? Why am I neglecting the time that I have right now to enjoy life and to do something positive with my life, working towards a future that I may or may not see? And then he moves to verse 9. After describing the vanity of the person who is working and working and toiling, then he says that person who's been working in isolation is contrasted with how we should be living. So in verse 9, he says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. Companionship between people has always been part of God's plan for his people. Go back to the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. That companionship strategy was seen in God's original plan. Verse 18 says, "Then the Lord said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.'" It was not only part of God's original plan, it was illustrated in the life of Moses in Numbers chapter 10, verse 31. Look at what it says. "And he said, 'Please do not leave us, for you know where we should camp in the wilderness, and you will serve as eyes for us.'" It was modeled by Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Listen to what he says to those that he is sending out. "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go." He says, when you go out and you get ready to do this kingdom work, I don't want you going out by yourself. I want you to learn how to walk with others. And here in Ecclesiastes 4:9, this idea is emphasized. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. Some people are alone by choice. Maybe you chose to get a divorce. It wasn't what you planned. It wasn't your objective. You didn't stand up in front of the preacher or the judge or the friend and say I do till death do us part. You didn't plan on going there, but it happened. You are alone by choice. Some of you intentionally choose to stay away from people. Maybe you've just had a preponderance of messy people in your life. And you just decided, just like the news, some of y'all, I just need to turn off and not deal with you anymore. Some people are not alone by choice. They are alone by chance. Somebody is under the sound of my voice who is alone because you are a widow or a widower. Maybe you're single and haven't found that person that God wants you to be with. Maybe you're an orphan, or maybe you were abandoned as a child. Maybe you have been viewed or perceived as an outcast in society. Maybe you have no siblings or no family close by. Maybe you are introverted or shy. Maybe you are oppressed or depressed, and you have gotten to that place not intentionally on your part, but just circumstances in life have got you to that place. Here's what God wants you to understand. It is not good for you to be alone. And here's one of the things that I've learned that the devil will do. Many times the devil will make you think you're the only one that's going through something. And you're ashamed to say anything for fear that somebody may look at you when everybody else in the room is going through the same thing. And so here's what God says. I need you to get ready to intentionally create a relationship, listen, that is mutually beneficial. See, throughout the scriptures, you see God talking about what happens when we come together. Look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. Listen to what the text says. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. Let's read it together. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. There is power in community, even if it's just a community of two. There are some of you in here who can testify to the life change that you've experienced in our life groups. And that power is not the curriculum, y'all. That power, the secret sauce, is really found and based in relationships. To be in relationship with other people who want to live right, who want to do right, and recognize that you can't always encourage yourself through your challenges. Many times you've got to have some other people to encourage you. How many of you have gone through your life groups and, man, got to your life group and was able to share and had somebody pray with you and pray for you, and then come back the next week and say, by the way, how's that working out? Or texted you during the week and say, hey, just want you to know, Lord put you on my heart, and they prayed for you, and you were empowered in the context of that relationship. See, here's what God says. You and I were never intended, we were never created to function in isolation. That's why even in prisons, when they put people in solitary confinement, they can only put them in solitary confinement for a certain amount of time. They can't leave them there all the time because we are social beings. And we've got to have interaction with one another. So here's what God says. Meaningful, positive fellowship and friendship with other believers is good for the body of Christ and is good for the soul of the individual saint. I've got a friend, Dr. Jesse Williams, pastors the Convent Avenue Baptist Church. Shout out to Jesse. And whenever we're together, he has a saying. He will say, DZ, fellowship is good for the soul. Because whenever we can interact with like-minded people, we are the better, and they are the better for that fellowship. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Not only do you need to realize people you share your life with are more important than the possessions you have. But number two, you need to realize there are benefits when you live in a positive relationship with others. There are benefits. These are mutual benefits. Now, here's the challenge. Many of us, when we think about relationships, we think about what we can get from them, not necessarily what we can give to them. But the writer of Ecclesiastes says, benefits out of a relationship should be mutual. We both should glean from it. Look at verse 4. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. What are the benefits of companionship, of having a companion, of having a spiritual buddy in your life? Think of the emotional and personal benefits that others bring to you and that you bring to them. Think about how much better you are because somebody sowed in you. And think about somebody who is better because you sowed in them. And if you can't think of anybody who's better because you sowed in them, then you need to start sowing. You need to start pouring. You need to start discipling. Think about the love you can offer to each other, the companionship you can give to each other, the emotional needs you can meet for each other, the encouragement you can give to each other, the meaning you can bring to each other's lives, the joy that you can provide to each other, the satisfaction you receive and give when you are a companion, a committed companion, when you have made up in your mind that, yes, we're going to have this kind of relationship together. Look at A. You can be more productive together. You can be more productive together. That's what the writer says. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. When you work together, two can get more done than one when the two are committed to working together. I was just talking to a friend, Dr. Johnny Green, out of Harlem, New York. He comes for my anniversary, has come the last several years, and he sent me a message while I was in Nebraska, and he said, hey, man, I need you to call me right away. I wasn't able to call him, and so, you know, he sent me a text message fussing. He said, oh, you too big now to call your brother, right? So I said, man, listen, I'm teaching. I was swamped. Anyway, we get on the phone together. He says, listen, man, I just finished the book, and I need you to write a blurb for me for the back of the book. And he started telling me the people who are writing blurbs for the back of the book, all major people. So I'm like, Johnny, why you want me to write one? Like, these are all nationally known guys. He said, man, I need you to write a blurb. And then this is what he said. He said, you know what got this book done? And I said, you finished writing it? He's like, no. You know what inspired me to get this book done? He said, when you told me you were taking some time to write. He said, and I thought about it all of these years. I've been working on stuff, and I never got it done. He said, and I was inspired to get it done because of your story. Now, there are things that he's inspired me to do, opportunities that I've gotten because of my relationship with him. We have a mutually beneficial relationship, and because of that mutual beneficial relationship, we literally are more productive together than we would be individually. So when you think about the person that you're going to have this relationship with, how can each of you make the other better so that we're better when we come together? Here's B. We're talking about the benefits. you can pick each other up when one falls down. You can pick each other up. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Come on, we all know the commercial. I've fallen and I can't get up. And that commercial has been used to advertise and market brands like Life Alert, right? You wear that monitor around your neck. And so when a person falls, they can hit that monitor and somebody can come in, do that wellness check with them, call them if they can't get them on the phone, and they can come. And we know the older we get, the number one fear of the elderly, besides dying, is falling. Matter of fact, falling is probably greater than dying. Because there's a fear that when you fall, you won't be able to get up because you won't have anybody there with you to help you get up. He says, when you have that committed companion, when you fall, they can help you get up. Now, remember, though, this fall is not necessarily a physical fall. Think about the figurative falls that we make. Think about those times when you may fall, for example, into depression, or you may fall into fear, or you may fall into self-doubt. And you need somebody, listen to me carefully, you need somebody to think for you when you're not thinking right. Do you have somebody in your life? Because see, here's what I've learned. If you do all the thinking for yourself and you always think you're right, you're always going to be wrong at one point in your thinking. You need somebody who can say, hold on. We had a friend, several of us, who was going through some things in life, and he was just making some bad decisions. I mean, it was like real clear. It was real obvious. Now, he had the right, he was grown, to make the decision he was making, but they were bad decisions. And so several of us sat down with him, and we said, listen, let us think for you. Because right now, your thinking is stinking. You need somebody to help you. We got to give you some perspective so we can help you navigate this time in your life. Listen, you got to have somebody. And when he says, if they fall, it presents a hypothetical possibility. But here's what we know. All of us have the potential to fall. And we need somebody who will get us up. I love this definition of a friend. A friend is somebody who finds you where you are, helps you get up where you are, and get where you need to be, and never tells anybody else where they found you. See, you can provide what each other needs. You can provide what each of you needs. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? In Eastern custom, people didn't get undressed when they went to bed at night. The desert was a place of unbearable heat during the day, but it was also a place of unforgiving cold at night. So people would put on clothes, literally, to go to bed at night, and they would sleep close to one another. They would sleep close to one another to keep each other warm. They would sleep close to one another to be close to the fire. Some of you are old enough to remember before you had central heat and air and you had that potbelly stove that you would light with wood at night. The whole family would sleep together with the goal of staying warm. And he says, if you're lying by yourself and you're cold, who's going to warm you up? But there's a mutual benefit when we can provide for each other what we need. Look at D. You can protect each other. You can protect each other. Verse 12, the A part, and though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A man might prevail against one who is alone, but two will withstand him. that if you end something by yourself, you might prevail, but you might not. But if you got somebody with you who has your back and it's two against one, you stand a better chance of prevailing. Isn't that what we say to people when they say something like, I got your back? Right? Because sometimes, again, perspective makes all the difference. One of the things that I did in a former life, I worked at a school for adjudicated kids, and they would teach us principles of confrontation. And one of the things that they would tell us is that when one of your co-workers is in a very tense situation and it looks like it's escalating, that those of you who are of a cooler mind step in between the person that they are about to get in a conflict with so you can disengage them and de-escalate the situation. That's part of the reason that several of those officers were convicted in the murder of George Floyd, because nobody interceded. They stood and watched a situation escalate instead of stepping back and saying, hey, and pulling that officer off and saying, man, you've gone too far, and another one stepping in and dealing with George. Am I making sense to somebody? And you need somebody who loves you enough to step in sometime. Because sometimes, watch this, you got to be protected from other people, but sometimes you got to be protected from yourself. I hope you leave here today and there may be somebody that you've been upset with because they stepped in and tried to protect you from yourself, and you can look back and say, ooh, I'm so glad they did. Call them and thank them. Tell them, my bad. I appreciate you having my back. Look at the last one, E. You can give power and strengthen each other when you're together. The B part of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. It says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So it's not that you can't break it, but it's hard. It takes a lot of work. And sometimes what you're trying to accomplish is not worth the effort. It's easier to break somebody who's alone than two or three people who are resolute and standing together. Here's what God wants all of us to understand. When you intentionally live your life in the company of other people who have the same mindset, who have the same commitment, those mutually beneficial relationships will bless you and bless them. When you try to make your way through life all alone, you lose out on the joy and fulfillment that people can bring to your life and the joy and fulfillment you could bring to somebody else's life. We were made for each other. That's why our life groups are so important. Somebody said, why the life groups? Why can't I just go to class? Because in class, you listen to a talking head. You don't interact with each other. You don't build relationships with each other. You don't practice the one another's of the Bible. Over 60 times in the Bible, we have phrases tied to one another, encouraging one another, building up one another, praying for one another, loving one another, all in the context of relationships, forgiving one another, helping one another. And when I help you and you help me, guess what we both get? The help we need. So we've got to be intentional about building those great, wonderful relationships. Look at Proverbs 17:17. Let's read it together. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That means when I'm going through things, family by chance may run, but family by choice will be developed. That's why there's some of you in here, you got some brothers and sisters for life that you don't share DNA with. But out of situations and circumstances, they have shown themselves to be brothers and to be sisters to you. Proverbs 18:24, let's read it together. There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. That's what discipleship is all about, being in intentional relationship with another to help people fulfill their potential in the Lord. That's what made that song so popular. I need you, you need me. Now I know some of you, boy, you know, yeah, I don't need anybody. I want it done, I'm gonna do it myself. You not only rob yourself of receiving blessings from somebody else, you rob yourself of the joy of being a blessing to somebody else. I need you, you need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is his will that what? Every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. You're important to me. I need you to survive. So I was thinking, God, why did you put this on my heart? Why? Because, y'all, the Lord wouldn't let it go. It was like, Lord, come on now. I got 4 or 5 things I'm working. Lord, do this. And here's what I came to realize. And this is what I need you to leave doing today. If you're living life in isolation, God says stop. We don't want anybody to have to do a wellness check on you physically. And we don't want anybody to have to do a wellness check on you spiritually. Stop living in isolation. But here's the second group. You have that committed mutual beneficiary in your life. Have that person that you have built that relationship with, and you can talk together and pray together and encourage. I want to encourage you to thank them for being a part of your life. Because sometimes we assume people know what they mean to us, and we've never stopped and told them. And just thank God for them and tell them thank you. And create even a greater commitment to make sure that bond is never broken. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you because we recognize that we're part of your family. You never created us to be in isolation. You said it's not good to be alone. And so many times when we think about relationships, we think about the ones that we want and not necessarily the ones that you want us to have. We thank you because in the church, we are family. That's why we call each other brother and sister, pop and mom, mothers of the church and elders, because we are family. And I pray, God, that as family, we would encourage each other to be all that you have created us to be, to encourage somebody to fulfill their potential in you, to practice the one another's in our day-to-day living and in the context of our life groups and relationships, recognizing that as we help somebody else to be better, they help us to be better. We give you glory and honor now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.